Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our passage for this morning's lesson is found in John chapter 10, beginning with verse 14, and it continues our theme this week of Jesus, our Good Shepherd, and it reads as follows. I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my sheep. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Would you please bow your head with me? Gracious Father, give us now a quiet mind and a listening heart, so that your word will be made known unto us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Have you ever noticed that some things that are greatly appreciated by some individuals are found to be distasteful by others? My brother loved coleslaw. Coleslaw makes me gag. Still makes me gag, even after all these years. Romano cheese is loved by some people, but others find that it smells like sweaty feet and they can't stand the thought of eating it. And of course, there is a middle ground on that continuum, and there are those of us who think it smells like sweaty feet, but we still like it. But some things that are greatly appreciated by some are found to be distasteful by others. Our passage for this morning is a Bible passage that is like that. How can this passage where Jesus describes himself as the Good Shepherd that we find so comforting, how can anyone find it to be distasteful? Well, I'd like to give you three reasons this morning why people find this particular passage distasteful. First of all, is that in this passage, Jesus makes a claim of exclusivity. He says, I am the Good Shepherd. As if there's not another Good Shepherd. If there's no other Good Shepherds, right? Our world today is filled with people who want choices, who want their truth, their religion to be a choice. Haven't you heard someone say, it doesn't really matter what you believe, all religions ultimately teach the same truth? There could be no bigger lie than that one, isn't there? That all religions teach the same truth. Jesus not only used the definite article, but then he makes sure that we understand it because he says again right here at the end, that there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus claims the exclusive right to be called the Good Shepherd, and he doesn't share that right with anyone. That's the first reason that some people find this passage to be distasteful. The second reason that some people find this passage to be distasteful is that Jesus claims to be the Good Shepherd. There are people who believe for philosophical reasons that there is no God. And here is their reasoning. They don't believe that God can be all-powerful, all-knowing, good, and allow evil and suffering to exist in this world. Surely he knows about the evil if he's all-knowing, and surely he could do something about it if he's all-powerful, and so the reasoning goes, there must not be a God at all. Jerry Coyne, a biologist at the University of Chicago and an atheist, said, if there is a God, I hope he has a good excuse. As if God needs to explain himself to us. But he hopes he has a good excuse for allowing evil in this world. Sure, Surely God could have created people who would never sin, who would never have brought evil into this world, and along with that evil, of course, comes suffering. Surely he could have created Adam and Eve to be sinless forever, couldn't he? He could have just made them where they had no choice but to do his will. But, see, then they wouldn't be people. They would be robots. And God didn't want robots, people who had no choice but to always obey him. God wanted people, people who could have a trusting relationship with him. And so he gave Adam and Eve a choice. And of course, they chose to sin. They chose to not trust him. They chose to break that trusting relationship that they had with him. And so there is evil in this world. The third reason that this passage might be found distasteful by some is that it implies that we need a shepherd. There's a lot packed into that implication, isn't there? What does a shepherd do? Well, he leads the flock, doesn't he? He protects the flock. He chases them down when they go astray and brings them back. He watches over their welfare. And he rescues them. And so for Jesus to be a shepherd implies that I am not as independent as I think I am. It implies I am not as strong as I think I am. It implies that sometimes I go astray from what I know to be right. It implies that I don't know how to take care of myself very well, that I need help even to find my way, that I am weak and helpless. And it implies all that about you too. In fact, it implies that about humanity in general. It implies something else, and I mentioned that a second ago. It implies that we need to be rescued. Why? How does it imply that? Just because we need a shepherd, how does it imply we need to be rescued? Because Jesus said this, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Just as David rescued the lamb out of the mouth of the lion, you and I needed to be rescued. But rescued from what? Well, take a look at yourself and you will see. You know the ugly thoughts that you have had about others. You know the ugly words that you have spoken to someone else. You know the ugly websites that you have visited. It's all there. It's called sin. He rescued you from the results of your own ways, of your own sin. That's what he rescued you from. And he paid for that sin with his own blood upon the cross. And in place of your sinful record, he has given you a sinless record. And if you'll simply believe it, then you are one of his flock. Now we said this shepherd leads. I want to say something now because there are some people who are getting ready to leave in just a little over a week. Leave Bethany and graduate. You will be leaving the familiarity of your college and your friends that you have had for the last few years. Listen to your good shepherd. He will lead you. He goes before you, and he has promised that he will guide you with his eye upon you. When you can't see where he is leading, you don't know the next step to take, trust him. Trust him, it will appear. And then the step after that will appear. One after another will be revealed in his time. So trust him, listen to him. And follow him. He will not lead you astray. I'd like to close with the words of the psalmist. Psalm 37, he says this. He says, I have been young and now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken. It will be that way with you too. Would you please bow your head with me? Gracious Father, We ask you to waken our hearts so that we may sincerely receive your word, that we may not make light of it or hear it without fruit, but that we may fear you and daily grow in faith in your mercy, and finally obtain salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives with you and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.